What's going on? He's at Dutherell, Daryl Teeler. I'm Justin Valentine. A new look AEW, including Kazuchika Okada in the Elite. And in WWE, Cody Rhodes strikes back against The Rock. It's time to roar around the ring. I feel like AEW, I guess, uses this time of year after Revolution as like a new season.
It's a reboot.
It's a reboot. It's a reimagining. Reimagining of AEW. New look AEW. New logo. A little new intro for Dynamite.
I like it though.
New stage set.
Looks cool. It's a throwback, right? The two tunnels kind of thing.
Yeah, I like the two tunnels. So. It definitely. I feel like they had a form of that with the old set, but it wasn't as like prominent.
It's more neon now.
Right. You mentioned it's like Lakers colors, which I know you love.
I do. LA boy, I do enjoy my team. That's probably not going to go. No, championship this season, but
they're doing okay. They're good right now.
We still got LeBron
at the time of this recording.
As of this recording,
they're doing okay.
Go Lakers!
I will say for wrestling, and this goes for either company. I don't know why. I always appreciate a switch up. Not too often, but every when they switch the logo, when they switch the stage, the colors, whatever the intro, it just feels new, and I love that.
I agree with you. I will say though, to this day, I'm still waiting for Raw to go back to the Across the Nation theme. Because it's just like so good.
I agree with that, and I think WWE in general needs to go, they need to work on their stage sets. As great as everything is in WWE right now, their stage is just, they've gotten so lazy with it. The pay-per-views are okay. They always go all out for WrestleMania, which I appreciate. But like, compared to what we saw in like 2002 from SmackDown and Raw, SmackDown and Raw now basically have the same stage set. They just flip it from red to blue.
It's red to blue. You know what I miss? I don't remember if they did this in the last event, but for Backlash when they had the like swinging hooks.
Yeah, the creativity. Like, for Judgment Day, they had a bunch of tombstones Titantron.
Yeah.
They went out of their way.
Good stuff.
2001 King of the Ring, and you had the big chair, the electric chair that was on top of the stage. Like the creativity that went into it, that adds to the show. And then Raw had its own look. SmackDown had its own look.
We're a long, long way from the days where it was just like a cutout entrance.
Oh, for sure.
And just the logo of the event.
But they're slowly going back there because now it's just one big screen and then they don't even put videos on it for the intro.
We're all over the place with this, but I'm going to ask you real quick.
Sure.
And I would like to see what people have to say about this as well.
Sure.
How bad do you miss the entrance videos with actual footage of the performer, like
that
wrestling
added
matches?
Added to the wrestling. Like, I was a huge
Logan Paul has that. Did you notice
that? I did notice that.
I was so happy to see that. Like, finally, someone. It's not just a name.
Rob Van Dam was my favorite growing up. And I can remember to a T, along with his theme song, what his entrance video was. That added to how excited I was for Rob Van Dam.
You're an RVD stan.
I am an RVD stan, or was back then, for sure.
The Rock and the Nation back in the day had the dopest one. It was just him and the eyebrow dropping the elbow, and it was great.
Yeah, that's it, but it just adds to the character. Now you just get their name. Like, as great as Seth Rollins'
the whole entrance is just the name.
Yeah, just like flashing
on the screen.
As great as Seth and Cody's entrances, it's just like their names just like moving like this.
Drew McIntyre has a sword, but then it just kind of sits there.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It moves like
just
every now and then. The music's good.
The music's solid.
Music's solid right now.
It's gotten better, actually.
Yes.
What are we talking about? What are we doing?
Something about AEW.
Something about the Elite and Okada.
Yeah, so the Elite and Okada, that's it. This Dynamite felt like almost like a night after WrestleMania.
It really did.
You know what I mean?
Okada,
which I appreciated.
Yep. Yeah.
Part of that was the Young Bucks moving on from the Sting match. And back to their EVP roles, still the annoying EVPs. First off, firing Kenny Omega from the Elite.
For missing
people
dates.
Got a lot of this confused, by the way, with Adam Page and Kenny Omega. He got fired from the Elite, not from AEW. Storyline.
From the Elite.
They're not firing him from AEW. Same with Adam Page. Suspended. This Young Bucks thing, I have never cared more about the Young Bucks. Before we get to Okada, I have never cared more about the Young Bucks. And you know me,
I know you are not a fan. You're not a fan.
I have hated on the Young Bucks a lot.
But they're playing into, I think, a lot of the things that a lot of people have an issue with them.
Right.
Just that, they're the EVPs. They can do whatever they want. Just use it on screen.
That's it.
Your upper management is just thumbing your nose at everybody and pointing a finger at everybody.
Well, first off, I actually genuinely find it funny the actual like shots they take at bosses because like when they, when Tony Schiavone and them were in the ring a couple weeks ago and they apologized for, hitting him and pushing him down, and they gave him an Amazon gift card, a $25. Yeah. That's like the typical boss yeah. that will like abuse
it's
you.
It's that or here's your pizza party.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like that, and I love that they're playing
into that.
It's
a boost morale. We're going to give you a pizza party,
yeah,
everybody.
Here's a $25 Amazon gift card. Now, Amazon gift card, I'll take that, but at the same time, you know, of course, it's just playing into that
yeah.
annoying boss.
Yeah.
And the thing with the Young Bucks for me, they've always had this attitude, but they were trying to get us to cheer them. That's what I don't. That's why I always lost them for two things. A, I didn't. I still to this day, as great as that Sting match was, but that was more on Sting and Darby. You know, the Young Bucks, their match style, I'm not a fan of. Okay. I've never been, and I feel like it's too circusy. You know,
yeah,
like it
I can
looks
see that.
Too
I can see that.
Like. I always said the Young Bucks remind us that wrestling is fake, right? Because they do all these stunts. The Sting match does not count for this because that was amazing.
I do not condone calling wrestling fake.
I am saying the Young Bucks remind us of that because when you have one of them at the top rope and they're balancing and you just have the others just like sitting there waiting,
it just feels
like a circus act.
I completely get what you're saying.
And that feels like it happens a lot in Young Bucks matches more than anything else. But even character-wise, like they had this attitude where the EVPs that can do whatever we want, but we were supposed to cheer for them? Like that never made any sense to me.
Yeah.
And now they're playing into that role. Now the addition of Kazuchika Okada, Eddie Kingston came out, gets in the Young Bucks' faces. Okada comes out. A lot of people thought he made it look like he was going to be on Kingston's side.
Yep.
He then turns on Eddie Kingston. Do you like the addition of Okada in the Elite with the Young Bucks?
I really, really do. And I think that you're eventually going to get your Okada Omega match if we go to that.
Oh, yeah.
So that's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. But I do like that. I really like the whole switch, you know, that they pulled with him turning on Kingston and just going with the Elite. That's it works. The whole presentation was great too.
Yes.
Okada looks like a star.
It makes Okada look like a star, and I think the fact that it's this unpredictable twist adds to Okada being in AEW.
Right.
There was a lot of talk back and forth whether he go to AEW or WWE. I know a lot of people thought NXT would be a spot for him. Which it could work.
It could.
A lot of people talk about
Okada.
You know,
you can definitely build a brand around.
Yeah, and a lot of people talk about, too big of a star to go to NXT. NXT has changed.
Yeah.
Right? And I think, you know, for someone like Okada, why that would be different is because he has a huge name internationally.
Right.
He needs to create a name, which he's doing now here in the States, and NXT could do that for him. But the twist here does that because now it's not just that Okada's in AEW. Oh, that's cool. It's Okada is in AEW with the Elite. You know what I mean? And that just adds a layer to care about him being in AEW. And I appreciate that Tony Khan does this because AEW, as we know, is famous for just bringing everybody in and signing probably way too many talent.
I would say so, yes.
We're expecting Mercedes Moné to show up in Boston this week. So why do we need to continue to care about all these people that you continue to bring over? And this kind of makes him stand out from the rest. He's no longer just another star that showed up in AEW. He's part of the Elite. He's part of a storyline instantly. And now we instantly have a reason to care and hate, you know, on him.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, it's as to the Young Bucks and how annoying they are right now.
And it's good to put someone of his star power in that debut, basically with an ever evolving storyline, because the Bucks of the EVPs are just kind of, they can put their hands on everything.
Yeah.
And there's no shortage of things for Okada to also get involved in with that as well.
Yeah. Well, the Young Bucks, it adds to them playing into the EVP role because, we can convince anybody to join us because we're the bosses.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Now we can do whatever we want. Play into that, right? It's like the McMahon-Helmsley era. Why did that work so well? Right,
because when you have that, you know, like the authority or the corporation, or like you are, no pun intended, you're the actual inner circle.
Yeah,
you know. So
well, and it's the one thing that I do want to see smoothed out is how much of a boss are they? Because they're not making matches.
Right.
Tony Khan supposedly is.
Right.
By the way, Tony Khan is quick to make matches.
I was gonna say they disagree with something even like 5 seconds later. Like Shivani's like, I just heard from Tony Khan. It's like, is he just? He's got like 10 screens on in front of him.
That's what I'm saying. And I want to bring something up that, you know, it's not in front of us, but speaking of making matches, Adam Copeland, Christian Cage.
Oh, gosh.
I Quit in Toronto.
That
was one of those examples, though, right? Like Copeland chases Christian out of the arena, challenges him to an I Quit match. By the time they cut back to the announcers, we just got word the match is happening in Toronto. Wow.
I want So what happened between the parking lot to there was Tony Khan like text Adam Copeland and was like, "Hey bro, Knight, thanks for the heads up, LOL." Yeah.
We're gonna go with it. Yeah. We're gonna go. He didn't even say all that. He just sent him a thumbs up emoji.
Yeah, thumbs up emoji.
It's happening.
Yep.
You know, which
with the face of the sunglasses on, thumbs up. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, so we got two straight weeks, and I gotta ask you this too, because we have Dynasty coming up. They're adding more pay per views. Which, by the way, stop charging people $50 for pay per views if you're gonna
That's quite a bit, especially now.
It made sense when you only have four.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now we're up to eight or nine.
And with all these streaming services, especially with WWE, it's like you got to get competitive.
Well, the fact that I can watch WrestleMania weekend for $10, essentially.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and now, nothing against AEW, but you're asking me to spend $50 on your show.
I'm watching WrestleMania for $10, $12. Yeah, so, yeah. You know.
But with that being said, more pay-per-views, are these big shows necessary now? Big business in Boston. You know, we got a world title match there, Wardlow challenging Samoa Joe. And then after that, we're in Toronto. We're doing Copeland and Cage there. Should we be saving these for the pay-per-view now that we have more?
I feel you almost should, because before you had the excuse of, well, there's so much time in between pay-per-views, which, you know, okay, well, I can see that. But if you're having one pretty much every month now,
right,
you can save it for the pay-per-view.
Yeah, and I think Copeland, Cage, I'm okay with where it's at. Toronto makes sense. It's a big deal. We saw that as a big deal for Edge in WWE. In
just given their backstory, everything,
right.
Yeah.
And we've also seen that enough where I don't need it on a pay-per-view, right? They already had a pay-per-view match. They had a couple other matches, including a main event on Dynamite. That's fine. I quit, though. Who's saying that? Because this is I always get nervous with this stipulation.
Yeah.
I do, because you got to do this right. Because getting heel or face, getting anyone to say I quit on TV, that's a huge look. And if you don't do it right, that can make that star look really bad.
It makes you think, because there's no sentimental individual on Christian Cage's part where you can threaten them and he'll be like, I quit. Just like they did back in WWE when with Edge and the Judgment Day.
Right.
You know, with Beth.
Beth's
Christian
not wrong.
Christian's character is like he would sacrifice the whole family to save his butt. You know what I mean? So it's just like there's no one that you'd be like, well, maybe he'll say I quit with this person's threatened. It's like, no, not really.
Yeah, that being said, I don't know how you get it, because usually it's the face that's saying I quit, because the heel is threatening to do something horrendous to someone. Copeland doesn't have anybody, not even Beth, but like he
you don't
want to
rehash that. You don't want to bring Beth over and then rehash the whole
thing. And literally just do the Judgment Day thing.
Yeah, it's like, no, okay, we saw that already.
But what would it take for Christian? I don't know what it would take for Christian, but between the two, I think he can afford to say I quit more than Copeland, because I can.
But what's his reason?
I don't know his reason, but I can just envision him doing it as the irritating heel that he is. And Copeland wins, and then he can just come out and, you know, just give a stupid reason why he had to say I quit.
And get a rematch.
Match number five. I don't know. It's always a scary stipulation. You know, one that not to switch companies here, but remember before Bayley got hurt a couple years ago, we were supposed to get Bayley versus Bianca in an I quit match.
Yeah.
And this feels like the same. I bring that up because it feels like the same type of match where it's like, I can't envision why either one of these would say I quit.
Right.
I really can't. And I am a little nervous that one of these guys is going to look really bad coming out of this match.
I hope this is where you hope that people with the experience of Adam Copeland and Christian Cage have had this thing booked out prior to, and they've sat down with Tony Khan and whomever else needs to be involved on this, and they said, look, here's the plan for this match. This is how we want to have the finish, blah, 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 and it all makes sense. It's not just a, hey, it'd be cool if we did an I quit match, and then we'll just figure it out as we go. So that's kind of my worry.
Yeah. Another thing that's happening this week, big business, Wardlow challenging Samoa Joe for the world title. Something that could be held for the pay-per-view potentially. Undisputed Kingdom more involved. We don't know how close Adam Cole is to being healthy.
Right.
Swerve coming out, kind of cutting a face promo. I guess no longer a heel.
Yeah.
Which felt weird.
It was awkward for him. You could tell he was kind of getting through it, because that's not his natural state of promo. So it was a little, I mean, he did
okay.
It was manageable.
He's still great.
But it was just, you can see there, okay, we're really going to lean you into this babyface character now. And it's like, right, and the fans are with it. It's just the promos can get better.
I think he needs to continue to just be who he is.
Right.
Right? Like MJF, you know, he leaned into the baby face, even though he called him like, oh, I'm your scumbag.
Yeah.
Like, okay, cool. but stop pandering to the crowd.
Right.
MJF would never do that. Swerve would never do that.
Yeah.
Swerve would never thank the crowd. I'm not saying he needs to, you know, hate on the crowd. No. That's kind of what it takes, right? Like when Kevin Owens became a face, he just stopped hating on the crowd. He doesn't pander to them.
Right.
But he just stops hating on them necessarily. With Swerve, he tried to thank them and give an emotional. I'm like, this is not Swerve.
Yeah.
And that's why it felt awkward.
I mean, the example I'm always going to use is Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know, I mean, you can use MJF, you can use The Rock, but Steve Austin was the anti-hero for a reason. He just was not, there was no pandering to the crowd other than if you want to, you know, say, hell yeah, you know, whatever, that kind of including the crowd. But what got him over and what I think Swerve can get over in the same way is the crowd's going to be with you because of the determination to finish your mission.
Yes.
And that was something we saw every week with Stone Cold Steve Austin was just overcoming all the odds every time. And that's what got you on the side. Swerve can do the same thing without having to pander to anybody.
Do you worry because he got choked out by Samoa Joe, you got Wardlow involved, Undisputed Kingdoms involved. Are you worried at all that Swerve's moment may not be as close as we think it is?
Watching all that, I am a little concerned he's going to get lost in the sauce, so to speak.
Yeah.
Because now you're stacking too many things on top of his whole thing where it's like, we might just get him sidetracked elsewhere while we're doing this whole title business.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, that promo kind of started to worry me that, hey, they're going to push him off even more. Mm-hmm. But again, it's one of those things, it's kind of like what they did to LA Knight, right? LA Knight got hot and they put him in the world title picture. Put him in the TNT title picture. You know what I mean? Let him hold that for a while. I just, it takes away from the steam when you watch someone like him take loss after loss after loss and have more and more people work over him.
Yes.
And, you know, after a while, again, Daniel Bryan, I'm saying that on purpose, he said it perfectly. Fans are fickle. At some point,
correct.
They are going to get tired, not of Swerve, but of cheering for Swerve.
Yeah.
Because, okay, we cheered for him for a year and a half. We did his dance. You know, I'm just using a time frame. And you still aren't pushing him. We're going to move on to the next hot thing.
It's a great
That's
dance.
What fans do. It's a great dance, though. It's a fantastic dance.
Well, we
dance.
Saw that, too. Like, I mean, just going years back, you saw it with Dolph Ziggler.
Yep.
The fans were on with him through the ride for a year and plus, and eventually it was just like, this company's not going to do anything for you.
And we moved on to someone else.
We have to move on.
We have to move on because we realize it's not happening right now.
It's not worth the emotional investment. So hopefully that doesn't happen with Swerve. I'll be worried when he's attacking a television with a chair. Then I'll be concerned.
Exactly, right? Like with Swerve, and this is why the pay-per-views could help, because I think Dynasty, you could do Joe and Wardlow, and then that could just set up Swerve and Joe for Double or Nothing in May. And I think that's where Swerve should win. That if Swerve's not winning the title at Double or Nothing, whether it's one-on-one or multi-man match, whatever, if he is not winning the world title at Double or Nothing, he's not winning it in 2024.
Does that dismiss the entire Wardlow winning the title for Cole thing? Or can you side that off with, hey, you failed to win the title for me, and then you build a feud in from there?
I don't think Wardlow should win the title with the storyline that he's in.
But that's the storyline that was presented.
Exactly.
So now it's almost like we have to do something with it, or we have to just ignore it.
Because what happens on Wednesday, because I don't think Wardlow's winning on Dynamite, right?
I seriously doubt it.
So what happens when he doesn't beat Joe? Does Undisputed Kingdom turn on him? We just do a rehash of MJF?
I mean, that's, again, we talked about this. We're going back. We're treading those same waters we already went through.
So,
I feel like they booked themselves into a corner with Wardlow like
and
that.
And I have a hard time seeing Undisputed Kingdom not attacking Wardlow when he doesn't
win. For failing to not getting the job done.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So one other thing, Dynasty announcing Bryan Danielson, Will Ospreay on pay-per-view.
So good.
You thought Konosuke Takeshita and Ospreay gave you a match of the year. Danielson and Ospreay. That is going to be one now. Danielson took a loss to Eddie Kingston at Revolution. Do you think it's dangerous? He's in his final full-time run, which I'm confused by. Is not a retirement. Is it? I don't know. But
he's a friend of the show. We'll text him.
Yeah, right.
We'll clear it out.
Is it dangerous to have Danielson take another loss on a pay per view? Because you can't think Ospreay's taking a loss.
I mean, you don't. Well, that's the thing. You're. I would say that you don't want to give Danielson the loss here. But now look at who he's going against. This is a guy you just recently signed.
Yeah.
And he's official with your company now. You kind of want. He's not only that. He's like your built-in superstar. It's like it's a built-in feature already.
Right.
You don't want this guy looking bad on your big events. At the same time, we are on the final victory lap here for Bryan Danielson. How many losses do you want to rack up on the way out?
I feel like Danielson might be that guy that is okay taking losses. His final match is when he will win. Yeah. Like final couple matches, whenever we know that's, you know, that it is. We don't know that it is yet. I think he is happy with just having matches with people he's always wanted to have matches with, yeah, and putting on, you know, banger of matches.
I mean, that's the, when he was here for when the show, lose. That's pretty much the way he told us. Like, right. It's just about him enjoying having a match. Yes. I don't think he really cares too much about win-loss record.
Getting a title on his way out,
it's
or anything.
Just, it's just having fun doing what he does.
And I think that plays in Ospreay's advantage here. But I think after the Ospreay feud, okay, you put Kingston over, you put Ospreay over with Danielson. We, the fans, want to see, yeah, Danielson on a high on his way,
absolutely,
out.
Absolutely. How, right? Crazy is it that we're sitting here talking about Sting just retired. Mm-hmm. Now we're talking about Bryan Danielson being done.
Which, and again, I get confused because he didn't say it's a retirement. It's my last full-time run. Yeah. What does that mean?
Does that mean you're going to pop in every few months?
And have a match? Or are you just like,
which,
what are you doing?
Which, hey, great. It means I can look forward to seeing some bangers from you, and you'll stay healthier because you're not always wrestling night after night. But
that would be cool, too.
We'll see how that goes.
But if it's not retirement, if that's what it is, then I don't think an announcement was necessary. I feel like you could have just, you know, whenever you were done being full-time,
maybe
went
as
away
it gets closer
bit.
To that time, we'll find out. Maybe he'll clarify.
I mean, because he doesn't look like he's close to retirement.
No.
Right? Sting looked good, but you could tell, like, okay,
Sting was on in years, you know. Yeah,
you
he's
been
Danielson doing
Danielson doesn't,
so.
Even with the injury and the, you know, forced to retire early on in his career, he doesn't look like he's even close to ready right now.
No.
To being
done. He
still
looks in great shape. He still looks like he can go for another 10 if he wanted to.
All right, let's get over to WWE, of course. We once again are talking about WrestleMania 40, the tag match, Cody and Seth, Rock and Roman. Cody Rhodes on SmackDown coming back on The Rock and returning the favor from the press conference. Smack in the face of The Rock, your reaction not only to that segment, but then Cody's emotional promo on Raw.
Smacked him in the SmackDown hotel.
He did.
He had to tag him back.
Yeah.
You can't have a guy slap another guy, and there's no comeback for that.
For sure.
So, and The Rock, to his credit, really played up to that moment really well to give Cody a reason to smack him.
Yeah.
So, you know, in talking about his dad, calling Cody a mistake and all that, and then, you know, talking about the promo on Raw, man, it felt very off the script, mm-hmm, very just him and Michael Cole, which, you know, believably are two buddies, and yes, it's just like, I'm going to sit here talking to my friend about my career. And I like the callback to last year.
Yes.
You know, and just, you know, him talking about his mother and getting emotional, saying how Dusty's not here anymore. I'm watching that. I'm like, man, if you don't feel that,
yeah,
then this main event ain't for you.
Look, I make the joke, and I do it lovingly because, you know, I respect the hell out of Cody, yeah, Rhodes, and I get it too.
Yeah.
But it's like, here goes Cody again crying, right? Like,
what's that?
That dude cries on a promo.
What's that thing
week?
I sent you, the Talladega Nights? He's always crying.
Yeah, right? Like, so it is funny, but at the same time, this, yeah, felt different, right?
It did,
because
for
it
sure
did feel real. It didn't feel like a scripted promo in any sense. It felt like Triple H looked at him and said, hey, go speak from the heart. Right, you know what this is. And yep, this story is not just a scripted story.
Yeah.
It is legitimately why he came back to WWE. He left. Remember, this dude created AEW.
Yeah.
He helped create AEW. He, yeah, was the guy.
He's
there.
He's a big part of it.
He,
yeah,
could have had anything he wanted from Tony Khan over there.
He could have totally, like, heel EVP'd it in real life.
Yes.
And just been like, I'm the boss, I'm in charge, this whole company's going to do what I want.
Right.
But he was just like, all right,
and
well,
he left
need me
what he created to come back to what he hated 6-7 years, yeah, ago. To, for what reason? For that story. To hold that title that his dad never got to.
Yeah.
This story is legit. It is not an angle.
Yeah, no,
and
it is.
Promo,
because you
reminded
think, the
you
last
that
thing, if you would have never saw Cody Rhodes again in WWE, the last thing, last impression you have of him is Stardust.
Exactly.
And if I'm him, I'd feel the same way. I have to go back and fix that, because that cannot be the way that you remember me going out of this company.
And on Raw, he showed just how legitimate and genuine that story is. Like you said, with his buddy Michael Cole,
yeah,
interviewed in the ring. Like, it just felt different. We've seen Cody cry.
We've
seen Cody cry.
We've seen Cody cry
a good amount, right?
Yeah.
This felt legit. You know, as for the smack on SmackDown, yeah, you're right. Like, of course he needed at some point
back, yeah,
before WrestleMania to get him back. The one thing I'll say, though, is The Rock, and some will say, I do appreciate that he's playing into I'm the boss character,
yeah,
even though he's not.
Yeah.
You know, but I get it. TKO boy.
Yeah.
But The Rock's, you know, there's footage out there of the producers outside the ring like, bro, wrap it up, yeah, right? Like, The Rock needs to realize this is not the Attitude Era. And I'm saying this because of how much SmackDown got cut 2 weeks ago, because The Rock went 30 minutes. And then this whole main event segment as well that got, like, it was awkward. The credits came up, and then they went away, and then Cody smacked him, and then we went off the air. It was that awkward finish because The Rock was taking his damn time.
Yeah, he went about 5-6 minutes longer than he probably should have.
That's my thing. Yeah. We should have had a whole, break him up, a whole thing before we went off the air. We didn't. The Rock's got to realize it's not the Attitude Era anymore. I said this to you yesterday. It is way different. We have a lot more people, and this goes for, like, Tiffany and Naomi's match getting cut, and everything. The whole rest of the show got cut 2 weeks ago. We care to hear what Cody has to say. We care to hear what Seth has to say. This isn't where, in, you know, the Attitude Era, where you had an opening segment with
Rock,
Austin,
or Triple H,
Rock,
talking
Triple
for 30
H.
minutes.
And then you got Crash Holly, Funaki, the APA, you know, in between, filler, basically.
Hey, SmackDown's number one announcer,
Funaki,
buddy. All
Shout
right?
out to Funaki.
Take it easy.
But you got filler, basically, for an hour and a half. And then you got the same people that opened the show in the main event. We now care up and down everything that is happening on this show.
Most part,
you are The Rock. We get it. But we do not want you taking up 35 minutes, and now we don't get, you know, we see Tiffany and Naomi getting cut.
Yeah.
Tiffany Stratton is crazy over right now, right?
Big time.
Like,
big time.
Up and down the card, men's and women's, is just stars. Everyone has a story that we care about. That wasn't the Attitude Era. And The Rock needs to realize that, and someone needs to rein him in and say, dude, I know who you are, but come on.
And it's just it could just take Triple H telling him, like, let's we got to keep it tight as far as time constraints. Just keep it tight out there.
And that's what it is. But, you know, obviously you worry
about. And The Rock, I mean, like you said, the Attitude Era, The Rock's been around for a minute. He's a pro. He knows that there's time constraints. We're on live TV. I mean, it's not a thing where it's like, oh, I'm going to do 45 minutes because I want. It's like, dude, we got to keep time, man.
I was shocked when that opening segment a couple weeks ago, I'm like, we are still
going. Shout out to The Rock's entrance, though. How cool was that?
That was great.
That was nice.
And now, is that better than Hollywood Rock?
Oh, God. Okay. Visually, yes. The music of Hollywood Rock is still superior.
If you can give us that visual with the music.
Yeah, there you go. Blend the
for
two.
For WrestleMania?
Oh, my God. That's so good.
Oh, with everything that's happening in this story, who's taking the pin in this tag match?
Well, the Bloodline's winning. I think Rock and Roman are winning that. I'm calling them winning. I almost want to say Cody should take the pin.
I am 100% agreeing with
and
you.
And I know, like, anyone who hears that's probably like, are you crazy? No, he can't. How's he going to go into main event? That's the point.
Yep.
That's the point. You want to pack it on for this guy to really have to overcome adversity to get to this end of finishing his story.
And that's what I feel like that for that reason, but also we expect Cody to win.
Right.
Seth, we expect to lose. Do you really want Seth getting pinned two straight
That's
nights?
That's exactly the point.
Because everyone's saying, oh, Seth takes the
if
pin.
If Drew's going to win or Seth is going to get cashed in on either way, you don't want him taking two losses at WrestleMania.
And I feel like if Cody gets screwed over, that just adds to his fire heading into that main event.
Because you can have Cody take the pin with bloodline interference in that match.
Yeah.
So it's not like, oh, he just lost clean. And then you could have The Rock pin him, however you want to do it.
Yeah. And it could, like I said, it could be, you know, he got screwed over, whatever it may be. You could do a rehash of last year's WrestleMania.
Give the spike from Solo.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, do whatever it is.
He got The Rock. He has The Rock in the
it adds to Cody's fire. Yep. And fans will be okay with that if we know that Cody's title, moment's coming.
As long as we know we get night two with him holding the title at the end, do what you got
to
do.
A few more things to get through before we get out of here. WrestleMania six-pack ladder match for the tag team titles. Priest and Finn defending. Who else do you want in this match?
DIY has to be in there for sure. Awesome Truth.
Sure.
The Creed brothers can be in there. I wouldn't mind that either.
I don't know.
Well, here's the thing. I think they're a really good tag team. I think in NXT they're a really good tag team.
Sure.
Main roster hasn't been so great so far, but they need that exposure. They need that experience. I'd throw them in there.
I guess so. You got three
got
that
three.
I agree with. I go Profits.
Absolutely.
Right?
Can't
you
got to
put the
right
Profits
here.
In there. I think Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate, their match at Chamber was good.
They've been pushing
and
them.
And I feel like they deserve that. And honestly, and we'll talk about this, if Chad Gable's not in the IC title match, Gable and Otis.
Well, Otis and Tozawa are qualifying, right? They're trying to qualify as a team.
Is that a scene?
I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I saw them on the graphic.
Yeah, they showed
And
that.
When I saw that, I'm like, so...
Forget...
Alpha Academy's not at WrestleMania this year. What's going on?
That's insane. I don't know who the sixth team is then.
I don't know.
I really don't. But I will say this ladder match, I thought Awesome Truth was gonna get their moment. I think the ladder match changes that. I think DIY wins.
What about I don't even know if they're qualifying. What about AOP?
AOP could be in it.
I don't know if they're
LWO,
in the
just because they're high flyers for the stunts.
They do have they do have two members of LWO.
Yeah.
But I think LWO's presence is going to be Rey and Santos going at it. You're going to have that whole thing happen at Mania, which I am very much looking forward to.
But the ladder match stipulation makes me think DIY wins.
Oh, they have to.
Not Awesome Truth.
Well,
I thought when people thought a straight tag match was happening, I said Awesome Truth was going to win it. But I don't know.
I would say DIY, but at the same time, given what we saw with Candice LeRae, I kind of feel like the next thing to happen is DIY turning heel on Awesome Truth, and that could involve the tag titles.
And that could involve...
And the fans at WrestleMania would be really happy to see R-Truth win the title.
Speaking of Candice LeRae, on Raw, since you brought her up, going at Maxxine Dupri.
Pretty harsh.
Pretty harsh, man.
I mean, I agree, but you're not wrong, but you don't have to say it
she
like that.
She went Christian Cage on her. She brought up her dead brother. Like, what's going on?
Chill out. What's
That's
up?
A lot. That's a lot. But hey, I love it. Give us a reason to care about Candice LeRae.
It's character development, and that's all I ask.
That's all it is. And we cared a lot about Candice in NXT. Why? Because she was a heel, even with Indy.
Yep.
Why haven't we cared about her? Because she's just coming out smiling. We've said that a thousand times.
Right. Cool thing about this is if that all goes heel turn with DIY and her, and let's say that they're kind of a thing, this is your exit for Indy Hartwell to get her singles push as a single
and
star.
And a lot of people want that after WrestleMania.
Dude, because she's damn good. She needs to be pushed as a single star.
Put her in the Money in the Bank ladder match. I don't think she wins it, but I think that
Tiffany
can give her a
spot.
Tiffany wins it, but I think that ladder match can, you know, let Indy shine.
Exactly.
You know, and then she's the next one up after that.
Yep.
In AEW, Jay White kind of showing a heel side. He's facing Darby Allin on Dynamite, but he kind of showed that heel side even though he's still with the Acclaimed, although Max Caster is going heel on social media.
Boy, oh boy.
You want to see Jay White dive back into that?
This is where I think he fits better. I don't buy the babyface promos. I don't buy him in a babyface group. He is a heel, and it just works better for him.
I think the only thing that works for that group is the name. Bang Bang Scissor Gang.
It's so cool. It looks great on a shirt.
It's a great name, but when it comes to the actual story of it and who's involved, that's kind of where it stops making sense.
Jay White's a heel.
Chris Jericho teaming up with Hook. Why?
Because they can't push anyone new or any big angle without involving Chris Jericho.
Yeah. Well, there is a Sammy Guevara suspension out there for what happened with Jeff Hardy a couple weeks ago, which that plays into it. But it's just every time someone starts to get hot, we have to insert Jericho, whether he's teaming with them or going against them, and it's unnecessary.
It's not even like a hate on Chris Jericho thing. It's just like, why do we have to keep putting Chris Jericho
with
in that
everybody.
Spot? Just let them sink or swim on their own.
So I don't know how much this does for Hook. And it's funny because
we'll
they force the story.
Yeah.
Jericho's but like, I faced your dad once.
And I'm watching, I'm like, who? Okay.
Who cares?
I grew up, I was in the era of the original ECW, right? Dude, I barely remember that. Yeah. I just know Chris Jericho was in ECW for like a cup of coffee, dude, and he was gone. What are we talking about here? We're making crazy connections.
We did mention in WWE, Sami Zayn winning the gauntlet. He's challenging Gunther for the IC title. Did
I know
get
you're
this
excited.
Wrong? Did they
I
get this wrong?
I should ask you, did they get this wrong?
They did. Chad Gable was the, you know what was the way to go? I love that Gable, Sami Zayn. Triple H is not afraid because when he knows there's top two, he's like, you know what? You two are the final
you're
two.
You're the main event.
I love it.
And it was a great match.
You know what I thought was going to happen? You should have done some form of double pin and put them both in.
So you have Gunther back basically in the spot he was last year?
That's fine.
Would you have him win? Or would you have him retain?
No, I thought if you do a triple threat, Gunther wins by pinning Gable, and you give Sammy's moment in France. One-on-one.
Yeah.
I don't know that this is WrestleMania worthy. This match doesn't feel, this story, Sammy's story does not feel WrestleMania worthy.
Because he's lost so much steam within like a year.
Yes.
That's why.
Royal Rumble Ring is available every Wednesday. WRIF.com, 101 WRIF's YouTube page. He's that dude, Darrell Teeler. I'm Justin Valentine. We'll talk to you guys very soon.